Well, good morning, Crosswater. How are you this morning? Good. That video you just saw was a fantastic event that we had here at the church last week. And I wanted just to mention that to you because that video is really evidence of what your generous donations do for us here at the church. They allow us to do stuff like that, to put on events like this and send that food around the world. And so thank you for your faithfulness and your generosity. It's really a great thing as we're able to put that to use to serve others. And that leads me to one final announcement. I promise this is the last announcement of the day, okay? But this is a good one. So we had a few weeks ago, we announced that we had a mission trip coming up to Nicaragua. And we had 28 spots open. We have filled 20 spots at this point, 20 of those 28. That'll be the biggest mission trip we've ever taken. And so we would love for you to be a part of that. If you want to be involved in that or get more information on that, you need to talk with Gabe. He's our missions director out in the lobby. You can find him right out by the CW connections table out there. But that is a phenomenal opportunity. You don't want to miss it. Going out and doing mission work is seriously like a steroid shot to your faith. It really is. God uses that to grow you and shape you in ways like you'll never experience otherwise. And we are also going to be doing this fall in September. We don't have a date yet, but we are going to be doing a missions fundraiser this fall because we just believe that God has called us to expand the kingdom of heaven. And what we're going to do for this fundraiser is a golf tournament. And so Dan Orlowski is one of our guys here. He's sitting right back there. He's wearing a purple shirt. He's sitting right there. Dan, everybody needs to point at Dan right now. Just point at him. It makes him feel good on the inside when people point at him. Dan is a great guy. He's one of our Crosswater guys here, and he's leading this golf tournament. Again, we don't have dates, but it'll be in September, but we're working on that. If you're interested, if you want to help, he has a task force of people. Maybe you are the next PGA star up and coming. I have no idea. If you are passionate about golf and you want to help us with this golf tournament, see Dan. He'll be at the connections table right after service. That'll be very fun this year. And that, all the proceeds from that, we have a goal of raising $20,000 at that event for our missions program here. And all of those funds will be going to our missions program here at Crosswater because we just believe that God has called us to expand the kingdom of heaven. So with all that being said, if you have a Bible this morning, please turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. We have been journeying alongside of Israel through the stories of how God took them through the promised land. And it's been so amazing to see and hear how God has worked through Israel over these past weeks. Pastor Pete did a fantastic job last week of preaching from Joshua chapter 9, and today we're going to pick up in Joshua chapter 10, and we're going to keep going right along with Israel. And so last week, Pastor Pete talked about in Joshua 9 how there was this deception that was presented to Israel from a town called Gibeon. And the Gibeonites tried to deceive, but because what Pastor Pete was talking about last week is the only way to avoid or overcome that deception is by being in communication with the Lord. The more we are in touch with Him and His Word through prayer, the more we will be able to identify the deception when it comes. And so as we continue journeying through Joshua, we're now moving into chapter 10. So as you can imagine, after this happened, after they dispelled the ruse of the Gibeonites, this didn't make people in the promised land happy. They weren't happy that Israel was coming to reclaim their territory. And so I want us to actually pick up and read here today, verses 1 through 15 of Joshua chapter 10, because we need to read from God's word and get the picture of really what's going on. So I'm going to start reading in Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Here's what it says. As soon as Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, that's a key point, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted them to destruction, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly because Gibeon was like a great city, one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, the king of Hebron, and Piram, king of Jarmuth, and Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Debir, king of Elgon, saying, "Come to me and help me, let us strike Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel." Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, of Hebron, of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, "Do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us." So Joshua sent up from Gilgal, he and all the people of the war with him, all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came up on them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And they fled before Israel. While they were going down the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. And there were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed them with the sword. Verse 12. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day of the Lord and gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Son, stand still at Gibeon and moon in the valley of Aijalon." And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not what is written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the middle of heaven, did not hurry to set it about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Wow, what an amazing story of how God continued his miraculous provision as he was making way for Israel to rejoin. There's a word that I want to share with you this morning that is emerging in this story, and it's the word sovereign. Look at your neighbor and say, sovereign. Sovereign. What does the word sovereign mean? I do a lot of preaching at the house. Literally, I'm like rehearsing my message all week in the house, and I'm just randomly preaching. It's weird. My kids are like, "Who are you talking to?" And this week, Kirk, my older son, walked up and said, "What does sovereign mean? I hear you keep saying the word sovereign." And it's essentially, I want to give you a working definition of God's sovereignty. What does that mean, right? Big words. What do these words mean? Here's what a good working definition of sovereignty. The sovereignty of God is the biblical teaching that God is king, supreme ruler, and lawgiver of the entire universe. God is in control. God is over it all. Listen, church, this gives us great comfort. Great comfort. Our church is actually kind of in a season of mourning right now. This past week, we've had three people connected with our church pass away. It's been a hard week for us. But you know what brings me comfort in the middle of that loss? The sovereignty of God. You know what brings me comfort in the times of struggle that we may face? The sovereignty of God. You know what brings me comfort when it doesn't seem like there's an easy solution out there for our problems? The sovereignty of God. Listen to me, church. The fact that our God is in control, the fact that he is above everything, that should give us great comfort and great courage to face whatever lies ahead of us. Because when God fights for us, then we know that he is the one who's going to win the battle. It's not dependent on us. You know, so often as a father and as a husband, I get insecure and I feel like, man, I got to provide for my family. I've got to be strong for them. I've got to stand for them. But then there's times when reality hits me and it's like, he will provide for us. You know, one of Jesus's greatest statements was in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you. What is he talking about? If you read Matthew 6, he's talking about all the needs we have of life. He is sovereign over everything and he's going to provide everything that we could ever need or want. He really will when our want and our needs are found in him. The problem is so often in life, we try to meet our needs and our wants in this world. He doesn't promise those things. But when our needs and our wants are in him, when we wake up in the morning saying, man, I need God today. I want to follow Jesus today. I want and I need a close relationship with Christ. Then he will meet those needs and he will provide for us. And we can thank his sovereignty, his control, his the fact that he is the supreme ruler and he is the king. God is sovereign. How do we see God's sovereignty in this scripture that we read this morning? Well, I think there's a few ways we see God's sovereignty. The first way is we see that God is sovereign over the situation, okay? God is sovereign over our situations in life. And we all have different situations, and our situation changes all the time, right? I mean, this past Friday, one of our families, I got a call this past Friday night. One of our families in this church, one of our dear church members passed away. And that situation of that family changed in an instant. But here's the thing, Crosswater, whatever your situation may be today, whatever our situation is, we should never forget the fact that God is sovereign over the situation. That gives us hope. That gives us confidence. That gives us encouragement to know that we're not gonna just be downcast. We're not gonna be broken. We're not gonna be destroyed. He's with us, man. He's working for us. He loves us. He's sovereign over the situation. I see that in two ways here in this text. The first is in verse 1. Did you see what it said there in verse 1? This is very interesting. In verse 1 of Joshua 10, it says, as soon as Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem. Now, is this a guy that is following the Lord and living for the Lord? No, of course not. He's about to get taken over by God's army. But this word Jerusalem is kind of important, isn't it? Right? Jerusalem is like the key. It's like the centerpiece of God's working throughout history. Jerusalem is it, man. It's where Jesus died and rose again to redeem us. It is the place where God was going to work, but yet at this point in time, Jerusalem itself was controlled by the enemy. Listen, you know what this tells me? Is that there are times in life where we may be far from God or we may not be with God, but God can do a work in us that will take the bad version of Jerusalem and make it good. Listen, I have met people, I've got a dear friend in my life right now who at one time, 15 years ago, he was the furthest guy from God. He was sleeping around, he was living a wild life, he was doing all kinds of things that would never match up with God's word, had never even been in a church before. And then he had an encounter with God. And that Jerusalem changed from the place that was far from God to now this guy walks with the Lord every day. He knows the Bible. He is such an encouragement to me and Bob and our staff here at Crosswater. This guy he was a picture of how God can take a Jerusalem that's far from him and bring it much closer. Listen, God is sovereign over our lives. There may be a situation you're facing down today and you don't know where the solution is coming from. Well, let me assure you that because we have a sovereign God, nothing can be ruled out under his plan. He's in control. We can trust that he can take people that are far from him. Look, maybe you have a family member today, a loved one, man, a child, a grandchild, a neighbor, somebody that you care about who doesn't know who Jesus is. Let me tell you, God's in the business of taking people who don't know who he is, who are far from him, and changing them and transforming them with the gospel so that they know who he is. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you are here far from God and your relationship has either never been there or it's fractured greatly. God wants to take you or your loved one and he wants to move you from the old Jerusalem to the new Jerusalem. God is sovereign over the situation. But there's another thing here I see. If you keep reading in those scriptures, we just read about it. What happened? This king who's in Jerusalem thinking he's in charge, he's going to be the one to stop Israel. What did he do? He went and got four of his other buddies and they made a coalition of armies. He says, okay, we've seen Israel. They got Jericho, they got Ai, and they got Gibeon. They're not getting us. We're going to outnumber them. We're going to overrule them. We're going to get so many armies behind us that we're just going to squash them. They will never be able to overcome. They thought that, you know, this show of force was going to stop them. And so what do you think Israel is thinking at this point? You know, if it's me, if I'm in Israel in this day, I'm thinking this. God, we're not perfect, but we're trying to do the right thing. And the enemy just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Listen, this is what I got out of reading this. So often in life, we think that the issues just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, especially when we start doing what God has called us to do. I mean, think about this for a minute. Israel was trying to be obedient to God. They weren't perfect and they had mess ups, but they kept coming back to the right place and they kept trying to improve, and the problems just kept getting bigger and bigger. You know, we have this messed up way of thinking sometimes, church, where we think this, okay, I'm finally doing the right thing. I got my family in church this morning. I read my Bible every day this week. I'm doing all the right things that God wants me to do. So why are my problems getting bigger and bigger and bigger? Listen, Israel wasn't exempt from that. And here's the truth that I wanted to share with you this morning. Just because there's a problem in your life, it doesn't mean you're far from God. It doesn't mean that God is mad at you and is condemning you and judging you. It might mean the opposite. It might mean that you're walking directly in his path, that you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. What I have found is that in life, the closer I stay to God's will, the harder my life becomes in some ways. But this is why we stress the point that God is sovereign over the situation. Because here's Israel walking God's path, and their problems just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But God is sovereign over the situation. There's no way they were going to lose, and they didn't. We read and saw what happened. God is sovereign over the situation. Secondly, God is sovereign over the sky. God is sovereign over the sky. Did you see what happened here? So not only were they in a situation that was growing in intensity, but God was with them. But God was also sovereign over the sky. Two ways God is sovereign over the sky here. The first is that as this army is running out to engage in Israel, God starts throwing down these huge hailstones from the sky to take out these opposing armies. Literally, like these hailstones were coming down and they were hitting these armies that they were fighting. You know, and think about it. They needed that because they truly were outnumbered at this point. You've got one nation versus five nations. This is a 1v5 situation. And they were probably overwhelmed, but God was sovereign over the sky. Listen, how many times in life have you felt overwhelmed? How many times have I felt overwhelmed? It's all the time, man. But God is sovereign over the sky. I don't know what sky is over you today, but here's the thing. As dark, as rainy, as stormy as it may be, what is above those clouds? The beautiful sun. A clean sky is above those clouds. As dark and rainy as it may be, God is sovereign over the sky. He's over the things that we face. He's above those problems. So what that means is we need to recognize that he is the covering that we need in our life. He's kind of like that umbrella, right? Like if I had an umbrella, which I should have brought one, but I didn't. When I'm under that umbrella, I'm not getting wet. The problem is in life, so often we say, well, I want to tiptoe out of God's umbrella for a minute. I want to have fun over here in this part of life and this umbrella. Well, I'll just be over here a minute. I won't be getting that wet. No, the reality is we need to stay under his umbrella. Why? Because I want to be under his sovereignty. I want to be under his protection. But church, I see a second thing that happens here. So not only did these hailstones come down, God destroyed these opposing armies, but secondly, the Bible says that Joshua prays and says, God, we need time to see as we're engaging. And we need a day of light. And so the Bible says, we read it together, that God calls the sun and the moon to stop in the sky. Now, this is supremely important. And let me explain to you why. Because the Amorites, this was the all these kings we read were all in a region of the Amorites. They were all individual. There were five different kings over five different regions, but they were all a part of the Amorites. The Amorites, so all of these nations would have held a few of their gods. They all had gods that they worshiped. And here are three of the gods that these people would have worshiped in that day. Shin, Amaru, which is where they got the name Amorite from, and then the god Anu. These are three gods that they worship. Now, here's what's so interesting. Are you ready for this? These three gods, Shin, Amaru, and Anu. Shin was the god of the moon. Amaru was the god of the mountain. And Anu was the god of the sky. So here is these armies thinking, man, we got them. We're going to outnumber them. We're going to attack them. We're going to take them out. And our god of the sky is going to help us with the victory. Our god of the moon is going to help us with the victory. Our god of the mountain is going to help us with the victory. And what happened? They ran up into a brick wall when the true god of the sky said, no, you're not. And he caused that sun and that moon to stop in place, and he rolled down those hailstones, and God showed truly once and for all that he is god of the sky. Now, I want you to hear me this morning. What idols or gods do we have in our life? Don't we have the god of the money, the god of sports, the god of time, our time? We're spending our time the way we want. How about the god of family, the god of preferences? Well, I didn't really like what they sang this week at church, or I didn't like this, or I didn't like that. We serve so many gods. And here's the fundamental problem with serving the gods of this world. That there's another God that is over those gods, and he's the true sovereign God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be worshiping the gods that are subservient to the true God, the only God, and that God is Jesus Christ. You see, church, we have to understand today that God is sovereign over the sky, and I don't know about you, but I want to be on Israel's side in this battle and not on the Amorites' side of this battle. Because when we are serving the gods of money and time and preferences and all of these many things. And the problem with that is these gods always lose. The hailstones will come down, the sun, the moon will stop, and we will surely be destroyed. We need to serve the true God, the God that is sovereign over the situation, the God that is sovereign over the sky. And I want you to see one last picture of God's sovereignty in this scripture. And it's down in verse 14. We see that God is sovereign over the solution. Okay, look down to verse 14. Look what it says here. I love this, man. In verse 14, it says, there has been no day like it before or since when the voice of the man, sorry, let me start over. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. God fought for Israel. What was the solution here to the problems that they had? It was trusting in God's sovereignty. It was trusting that he was going to win the battle. And church, the same principle that won that battle for Israel this day is true for us today. The battles that we face in our family, in our life, and in our society, and in our world are going to be solved the same way when we trust in the sovereignty of God, that he's in control, and that we're submissive to that. We're laying it down to him for that. So I was thinking about problems that we have in life, and we have a lot of them. I mean, really, we do. But you know, one problem that we have in life is eyesight. Does anybody in here have a problem with their eyesight? Anybody have a problem with their eyesight? You're wearing glasses and you didn't raise your hand. So yeah, you got a problem with eyesight, okay? A problem with eyesight. Now, all right, can I admit something to y'all? Can I? This is gonna be really hard for me to say, okay? I mean, what I'm about to say is probably gonna be one of the most challenging things I've ever said in my life, but I'm just gonna say it. I'm gonna have to get a new Bible. Those words are looking pretty darn small, man. That is hard to say, but Bob, I'm moving up to, I'm not going large print, medium print. Medium print. Whatever it takes. You know, a problem in life is eyesight, right? Like sometimes it's hard to see. And so there's a solution to the to our problems of eyesight, right? What's the solution? Was glasses or contacts, right? You got a problem, you can't see, so you go to the doctor and it gives you some glasses or contacts. You can see now, right? There's a problem, there's a solution. But now there's another problem. Because once you get the glasses or the contacts, well then the glasses start getting dirty. Well, then the contacts start, you know, drying out. So then you got to, the solution that you thought was going to be the solution has now developed into a problem. I got to clean the glasses. I got to, you know, moisturize the contacts. So you go to your favorite shopping place, Walmart, and you get contact solution. It's got to be the solution, man. It's in the name, contact solution. Okay, it's got to be, this is the solution. So you get the contact solution and you go home and you take your contacts out and you put it in the little thing and you're thinking, yay, we're good. Now just do this every night and I'll be okay. And then what happens? The bottle runs out of solution. So now you have to go back to the store and buy more solution. What you thought was the solution has now turned out to be the problem. Listen, here's the problem. The solutions of this world are not really solutions. They're just problems in disguise. They're just problems until they run out of their power, and then you got to find another solution. So then you spend the rest of your life, you're only 38 years old, but you're losing your eyesight, and you spend the rest of your life going to the store buying Optifree. You know? What's my point? My point is we need a solution that's going to last for all time. My point is you and I, my family and your family, our church needs a solution that's going to get us by not just for a night, not just for a day, but for all of eternity. And I'm here to tell you, church, that the same solution that won the battle for Israel over 4,000 years ago is the exact same solution that is going to win the battles for us today. And that solution, there's only one. So many people in this world today think that there's so many solutions to the problems in this world today. But I'm telling you, politics ain't going to provide the solution. Entertainment ain't going to provide the solution. Pleasure isn't going to provide the solution. Jesus said it right like this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through me. If you've ever been confused of what the solution is the death, burial, and resurrection of the one and only Jesus Christ. He is the solution. So I want to ask you today, is God sovereign over your life? That's the ultimate question. Because think about it for a minute. I can pretend like he's not, and I can run and do my thing and live like he's not, but even if I deny that he is sovereign over me, that still doesn't change the fact that he's God of the sky. I'm asking you this morning, Crosswater, is God sovereign over your situation today? Are you laying whatever situation you have down to him today, saying, God, I want you to be sovereign over my situation? Is God sovereign over your sky today? You know what? There's going to be a lot of skies over us as we go through life. And some of our elder church members have seen a lot of different skies throughout their life. But the one consistency that they have seen is that God has been sovereign over their sky through all the change. And lastly, is God sovereign over your solution today? Or are you still looking for some solution out there in the world somewhere? Would you bow with me in prayer this morning, Crosswater? Father, today, it's so freeing to submit myself to Christ. It's so liberating to bend my knee and say, God, you are sovereign over my life. That's the epic battle that we're all under, is this control issue of who's going to be sovereign. But God, I recognize that there's no way my battles are going to be won. There's no way my life will be saved. There's no hope for me until I declare your sovereignty over my life. God, today I've got to believe that there is people here this morning that maybe they're dealing with that salvation issue. It's really a sovereignty issue of saying God is going to be the king and the ruler of my life. Father, for that person here today that does not know who Jesus is, but they want to have a relationship with Christ, I pray they will just simply say, Father, I have sinned and I am not who I need to be. I am short of your standards. But Father, I turn from those things and I turn and accept Christ today. Lord, that is such a liberating and freeing prayer. And God, for the person that just prayed that prayer, God, I want to say thank you. Praise God for your sovereignty over that life. Father, maybe there's a person here today that they know who you are, your Savior and Lord, but maybe they've been out from under that umbrella. And they need to put themselves squarely back under the umbrella of God's sovereignty over everything they think, say, and do. Father, I pray today that you will move through our congregation and remind every single person here, myself included, that you are God who is sovereign over all. Crosswater, today as we enter into this time of worship, we are intentionally moving our services to ending on a time of response. So we want you to spend this next moment of worship responding to the Lord. If you want to go take communion here in our auditorium on each side, you're welcome to do that. There'll be a person there waiting to serve communion to you. If you want to come down front and pray, we'll have some prayer partners. If you want to stand and praise, if you want to sit and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, we ask today that you do not leave here without responding to the Lord.